You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. We go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline and kick it off right now with OBM, Ohio Business Machines, a preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns, who know that every day is game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com today. And we go right now to Jim Donovan on the hotline, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Jim, yesterday was tough, obviously, as we left there and talked. We knew it was rough. Now that you've had kind of a day to sit with it, what do you take away from that game?
Yeah, it was kind of a watershed day, Nathan, I think it was a big day for Hugh Jackson, and I know he downplayed it a great deal, but I think to have the game start to take a turn of, a lack of competitiveness late in that ball game really hit him hard. I mean, it would have hit him hard in any stadium, but in particular to have it happen there with the Bengals on the other sideline, who obviously loved him. I mean, they were right off the sideline at the end of the game. They didn't even congratulate each other when they went over to wish him well. But I think that's a tough thing for him to take. And, you know, I know that a lot of people have kicked up, as a topic, him taking off the headsets and things like that. But I think it needed to be done. I mean, I think that he has gone out there every Monday afternoon when he does his weekly press conferences after these losses on Sunday, and he takes it all on his shoulders. And I think that's easier to do when the team is at least fighting and in the ball game and going right down to the last tick of the clock. But when he sensed that that wasn't going on, I think he wanted to tell them that, hey, listen, I've done a lot as far as taking the bows and arrows for you guys.
Yeah.
And, I'll continue to do it if you play hard. But right now you're not playing hard. So I think it was kind of a watershed moment for him and that team.
And, Jim, to continue on Hugh Jackson, do you think this is the most down or defeated Hugh Jackson's been since taking this job here in Cleveland?
Yeah, I did. I really sensed it, absolutely, after the game. He seemed to be, really hit with the reality that can't keep a quarterback healthy. I mean, look at what he has to do, Matt, to scheme, even going into the start of a game. And I think he does a brilliant job at that. I mean, I can see that he is trying to do everything he can with the people that he has available. But when that dwindles down to, the amount of quarterbacks that he's gone through, and not having Terrell Pryor and having Joe Hayden on the sideline and then having to mix and match offensive linemen, then I don't care how great an offensive mind you have or what a great leader you are. It becomes, beyond being an uphill battle to try and keep the team just competitive. So, yeah, I did think it really hit him yesterday.
You're right, Jim.
The other days.
Yeah, and just a week from today, it's Halloween. Something that we talked about, is this has got to be like a horror story for Hugh Jackson,
yeah,
because of what at through seven football games, what Hugh Jackson, I'm sure, even though he talks about the NFL injuries are going to happen, but RG3 and Corey Coleman and potentially Josh Gordon at this point and Terrell Pryor in his role, Gary Barnes, Duke Johnson, Isaiah Crowell, that's the offense that Hugh Jackson was so optimistic about and why he felt that we were going to compete at a high level, and the turnaround was so much closer. And as you mentioned, what he's had to do each and every week and the amount of coaching that these guys have to do with the players that are out there has been significant.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and we've seen glimpses of what can be done. I mean, when McCown went in the second game and they just blew apart and blew Baltimore off the field in the first 7 or 8 minutes of that game, you said to yourself, well, there it is. And it wasn't even totally put together at that time. I mean, you still didn't have Gordon, and you still didn't obviously have RG3, but you had a very competent professional quarterback running the show, and everything was working. I mean, the running game was working, and Crowell's hitting an 85-yard run, and Coleman's making just electric plays in the passing game, and that was the glimpse of it. But then how quickly that became subtracted away from the offense when the injuries hit, and then with the constant problems on the offensive line, leading to the quarterbacks just getting, banged around to the point that it's inevitable, unfortunately, that they're going to go down at some point in time, and it's sooner normally rather than later. Yeah, I just think it's just an accumulation of a lot of things that he never expected that this amount of bad was going to happen.
Where does Hugh go from here? Because you said it was a watershed moment. There were, and that was the first kind of, public showing of what he probably has been feeling on the inside. This is not a guy who is used to losing. Where does he go with this team this week when you have a Jets team coming in town that is beatable?
Yeah, it is beatable. You're right. I think that you go right back to the beginning, I think. I mean, as far as attitude-wise, I would think that, and it seemed as though, that those guys in that locker room definitely got the feeling, and I think that their feeling is correct, that they let the coach down yesterday at that late stages of that football game. So I would say that knowing what they had the feelings for him since the start of the year, and I mean the start of the year when they first met him, I really believe that they will come back to him, and I think you'll get a super effort. But now, Nathan, it becomes, what do you have to try and go in and compete with? I mean, what do you have at the quarterback position?
Right.
What do you have on that offensive line? And I don't know what he can do, really, to pull, rabbits out of his hat. But I think that's what he has to do right now is try and come up with these schemes that constantly have the defense trying to identify just who's in the game. And then once they get that read on them, as you pointed out yesterday, once they defeated them on first down, then you just knew that Colquitt was getting ready to punt because they just couldn't get over the hump. So I don't know what he can do as far as scheming and personnel-wise. But I think attitude-wise, I would be surprised if he doesn't get an all-out effort.
I mean, scheme-wise, the fact that I was talking with Matt, we were saying this was supposed to be in week 7, RG3 at quarterback, Josh Gordon at one receiver, Corey Coleman at the other, and Terrell Pryor. And yet the fact that they were able to score at all without really a healthy Pryor, obviously we know there's no Corey Coleman. There's Josh Gordon not even on the team anymore. And down to, by the way, his 5th and 6th quarterbacks there. It's kind of remarkable what he's been able to do offensively. So let's look at the other side of the ball. Defensively, I said earlier on the show, that was the first time that I felt like I was watching the 2014 or 2015 Browns all year. And just in terms of the ability for the other team to absolutely dominate them and run the ball down their throats.
Yeah, run it down their throat and really throw it. I mean, it was almost unfair for A.J. Green to be out there and be contested against by whoever was going over there, because that was dialed up anytime they wanted it. And certainly they built their lead that way early in the game. But you're right about the running game. I think that becomes, in any football game, and there have been all too many in our neighborhood, that becomes the most defeating thing to watch, whether you're a fan, whether you're a coach, and I would think as a player too, just to watch people just run the ball at you at will. Line up, almost just tell you where they're going to go, load up a side, for instance, when the Bengals get into that situation where they were loading up with tight ends on one side. There was no wondering where the ball was going to go. You had time to kind of take a look at it, and you couldn't stop it. I think that's just really defeating, both emotionally and obviously on the scoreboard.
Do you think Ray Horton's a little bit, I don't know, I want to say if he's on the hot seat, but you have an offensive coach, and defensively, you have a performance like that. You've given up a touchdown now on the other team's opening drive in 4 straight games, 5 of 7 on the season. Do you think that he's somebody that, might be under the microscope for Hugh Jackson right now?
Well, I would think, you'd definitely have to take a look at that, and you'd have to wonder, and especially if it continues, Nathan, I think you'd have to wonder about that. But, the other thing that's really disheartening, not only that first drive every game, but for instance, when the Browns worked themselves all the way back, right, and took the lead in that game yesterday, went up 10-7.
Right.
Immediately then the Bengals go right down the field and bang, they go in for a touchdown. And it's just really a point where they cannot come up with a stop when they need it, whether it's a third down or whether it's just a drive in total. And I think that becomes very defeating too, that the team offensively is challenged, we know that, but they're all in as far as doing whatever they can to try and get down the field and score some kind of points. And they battle all the way back, and they take the lead in that game yesterday, and they have it for about 4 minutes and 15 seconds, and then it's gone again. And I think that is very definitely defeating and troubling too. So a hot seat maybe, but definitely big, big concerns about what you're doing as far as this team trying to improve week to week and stopping things that are glaringly beating you.
You referenced something being defeating, and what's more defeating than giving up that Hail Mary right before half, Jim, you talked about the scenario of being up 14-10. Maybe they, throw a speed out and Nugent kicks a 50-yarder. At worst, you're up 17-10. But then you get the ball at half after you've deferred and you have and you go down on a scoring drive. It's 17-17, maybe 17-14. But just always being in a scenario where you need a play to be made, and in this case by a defender, to just survive the half and get into halftime with Kevin Hogan as our quarterback and get coached up ready for another 30 minutes.
Yeah, because you're going to get the ball, right? You're going to get the ball first at the start of the second half. I mean, I'm amazed that they came back out and were able to quasi-survive that and get back into the game and get that touchdown. But you're right. I mean, and that's what it is. You used a really good word about that. I think many, many times we're trying to survive defensively.
Yeah.
And I just think that's a tough way to survive in the NFL. It usually means it's like the prevent defense. You don't prevent anything. It's like this survival mode. You really don't survive. And I think that's really too many times, and certainly yesterday. I mean, you just have a bad feeling, Matt, in that situation with the way they're trying to get out of the half. And even when that ball was mid-flight, you just have this, this feeling in your belly that something bad and dramatic is going to happen on the other end of that, and it did.
Jim, Cody Kessler played well again while he was in there. 9 of 11 for 82 yards, would have produced points on two of his three drives against the Cincinnati Bengals on the road again, but was unable to finish for the second time in 3 weeks and second time in five starts overall. Is this a Cody Kessler issue? Is this a Browns offensive line issue? We know the quarterback takes a lot of hits, and I will say I thought the line play picked up in the second half, though, once they made the switch at center. But where are you at with Cody Kessler now? Is he the guy that you start the rest of the year whenever he's healthy? I think yes, but what do you think, Jim?
Yeah, I think yes, too. I think it is an offensive line problem. I'm sure that there is, Nathan, these different plays where he is committing that rookie sin at quarterback of holding onto the ball a tad too long, and then he's taking an extra hit or two. But I definitely think it's an offensive line problem for him, and I do think that he was on his way again yesterday to playing pretty well. I mean, he had settled in. He had moved the team. Plus, now for the first time in a couple of weeks, he had a running game that I think he could dial up at that point while he was in there. It was very, very good at that point. Crowell was running well and very effectively, and you were going to be able to parlay that into a complete game plan. You weren't going to be one-dimensional at all. I still think, I would definitely consider the project of Cody Kessler to be very much worth continuing with a lot of study on it, and if he's healthy. I mean, but I do believe, to go back to the root of the problem, I think this offensive line has been a major disappointment, and the fact that they've had to shuffle around now so much has been has led to what we have seen in the quarterback position and in the ineffectiveness for a couple of weeks in the running game.
Jim, and you've pointed out time and time again in the last 10 or 12 minutes, but does it really matter? I know we've got a winnable football game there here at First Energy Stadium against the Jets, who've only got one win, and they're Geno Smith now potentially with a torn ACL, so we're going to see Ryan Fitzpatrick again. But as we go into these football games, it's really so much just about us and not even about who we're playing anymore, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, and it's about now trying to identify, what you're going to have and what you have right now. But you have to forecast, I think, Matt, what do you have probably going into next season in the way of these young players? And so I know yesterday after the game, Hugh Jackson was talking about, well, listen, we put Drango in there, we put Coleman in there. I mean, we want to see what we have there, and I think that's true on both sides of the ball. You want to see what you're going to get from Nassib and Ogba now with really constant play. You want to see what you have along that offensive line in these young guys. I definitely do believe it is exactly what you said. You're trying to develop what you have on that roster and then what you're going to need in the offseason in the way of free agency or in the way of draft and who stays and who goes. And the other position, too, that you're definitely going to get a good look at now are all these young receivers. And we are getting a good look at them anyway. And you're going to find out, who's there, who stays, and who goes, and who you're going to go into the future with. So, yeah, I do believe it's all about us right now. But definitely looking at the mood and feeling the mood of that football team yesterday completely, organization, staff, players, coaches, I mean, they definitely need a win. I mean, there has to be a prescription out there to win a game and turn around this really empty feeling that they've had.
You said it, Jim. They need to find a way. Were there any positives that you took away from this game?
Well, it was good to see the running game back. I have to tell you, Nathan, I watched Kevin Hogan a lot. I thought I did anyway in Stanford. I was really very, very impressed with what he did when he went in there. And again, touche to Hugh Jackson, because even before Kessler got hurt, Hogan was in there running a couple of plays and big running plays. I never remember him running as well and as much at Stanford as he did yesterday in that one game. But I have to tell you, I thought the guy did a great job when he went in there and played. I think that really was the takeaway from the football game. I thought Ogbah obviously had a pretty good ball game with a couple of sacks in the game, and that was good to see. Danny Shelton, pretty good. Other than that, it would have been a little bit of a difficult time. I can't sift my way through it. It was good to see Crowell back to being the Crowell of old.
Yes.
But, you know, it was hard to – overall, you walked out of there, and I know you and I looked at each other and shook our heads, and that's a long afternoon.
That was a long afternoon. Even though it was a surprisingly quick game, it turns out it did not seem that quick while it was transpiring. Jim, thank you so much for the time, and I very much look forward to talking to you on a Monday after a victory.
All right, thanks, guys. Good
All right,
thank you.
Thank you. All right, when we come back, we'll go to the podium. We'll take your phone calls if you guys want to call, 216-578-0850, or we'll go to the podium, and we will hear from Kevin Hogan, the Browns quarterback who had to come in, the sixth quarterback now on the season that got in there. We'll hear from him right after this.
Strictly out of curiosity. You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The Cleveland Browns Daily. Let's go now to the podium and hear from Kevin Hogan, the young man out of Stanford, rushed for over 100 yards and had the longest touchdown run by a Browns quarterback in the history of this franchise's 28-yarder against Cincinnati. Here's Kevin Hogan.
Kevin, is it the running part, was this always a part of your game to run so effectively and that much?
It's something that I've always trusted. It's something I did a little bit at Stanford. You know, if there's nothing there downfield, then I felt comfortable that with my legs I could get a first down or a big gain. So it was nice, you know, in week to rep those some of those run plays and have them pay off during the game today. Yeah, I felt very comfortable out there. I felt good in the huddle, you know, leading the guys, getting to the right plays. You know, there are always some plays that you'd like back. You want to protect the ball, put your team in the best position to keep the ball and go in and score. So there are some plays that I'd like back, but, you know, overall I felt very comfortable out there and confident.
Going into the game, did you know that you were going to play extended length?
I knew that I was going to jump in and get a couple plays. We'd rep them during practice, some of those read option plays, and they worked well all week, so I knew that there was a chance that I'd get in and get a few reps just to get my feet wet. Obviously, it's very unfortunate what happened to Cody, you know, hoping that he's, you know, doing very well. You know, just wanted to go in and do my best.
How many practice reps did you get aside from the read option?
I'm always getting scout team reps, and I'm getting a lot of mental reps. So I count those anytime that Cody's in there. I'm standing right behind him, going through my reads and progressions. So, you know, I felt good out there.
What did you see on that long touchdown run?
Yeah, it was one of those read plays, and the end crashed. So I kept the ball and, you know, was able to make someone miss and saw the end zone close by. So wanted to do what I can to do what I could to reach the ball over the goal line.
Has anyone told you yet that was the longest touchdown run by a quarterback in Browns history?
No, no one's told me that. That's pretty cool.
how was Cody Kessler playing before he got hurt?
I thought he was doing really well. You know, he had let us down a few times, and it was tough for him to take that shot down close to the goal line. It was a great drive, scoring drive, and I mean, that's really tough. He's tough as nails. I respect, you know, the heck out of him. But for me, it was just to make sure that I was ready in the event that something happened.
He goes in the concussion protocol now, so you don't know how long he'll be out. How would you feel
Yeah, I'm confident in myself and my preparation, and you know, I feel good about my process of going in and putting in the work, studying, watching film, getting reps during and after practice. So I'm confident in myself. You know, obviously, I hope that Cody makes a speedy recovery. He's our quarterback, and we trust him. But I'm going to do everything that I can to make sure that I'm ready.
Was the communication good at the end of the game? I mean, was it in terms of the play calling and what you were getting in your headset? How was that going? Because I looked down there and you didn't have his headset on. How was that all going?
Yeah, the communication was fine all game. It went really well. The second half, Coach Pep took the headset, so he was the one that was communicating with me to the headset. So that's probably why Coach Hugh wasn't doing it.
Kevin Hughes said that the quarterback's only got so many hits in his body. I mean, do you think you felt today?
I felt a, you know, that's what happens when you run the ball. You're gonna get hit, and you know, it's something that I welcome. It felt good to get those first few hits out of the way, and then, you know, when Cody went down, it was my job to get down when I could and protect myself. But, you know, you want to get as many yards as you can and get down to protect yourself.
You did run well at Stanford, but do you think you can survive in the NFL relying on running?
I think that if I'm smart about it and avoid the hits and do it within the scheme of our offense. Don't try and, you know, go crazy with it. But if I can get a few yards, get 5 yards, some positive gains, and get down, protect myself, I think that's going to be really valuable for our offense.
And obviously injuries are part of the game, but is it at least a little bit mind-blowing that how often guys in your room are down
there? Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's just one of those things that happens. And we've got a great quarterback room. All the guys have been so supportive, and you know, Robert, Josh, they've been awesome the whole year for Cody and I, and we're going to stick together. You know, they told us after the game that they've got our backs, and they're going to help us this week, as they have all year long. But you know, it's something that happens. Injuries happen, and you want to do what you can to avoid them, but sometimes they just happen.
That's Kevin Hogan there. In just a moment, we'll hear from the head coach of your Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, for his live Monday press conference here in Berea. Hopefully, we'll have the latest on that, on this team, and you know, the injury update to Cody Kessler, what his story is, everything coming out of that game. Joe Hayden, Corey Coleman, who's supposed to have his hand looked at, I believe, today, to see if he could get back there, where Josh McCown is. So a lot of updates, obviously. We'll hope to have those for you next with head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Let's go right to the podium now. Head coach Hugh Jackson.
Oh, Tony, you got on a collar shirt today. All right. Button down. I see that. Okay, well, yesterday was no fun. You know, obviously, I was disappointed, but because I know we can play better. And again, but at the same time, I know we're going to get better. And we're going to continue to work at getting better. And I get disappointed, you know, for our players, for the franchise, for all involved, our fans, everybody, because I want everybody to experience winning, because that's what we came here to do, and that's what we want to get accomplished. But obviously, we haven't done that yet, and you know, I think everybody knows that. So we have some work to do, but by no means are we going to stop working at this thing. We're going to continue to work our tails off to get better fundamentally, to play better football as we move forward. And we get it. You know, again, we've dug this hole for ourselves. We have nobody to blame but us, you know, starting with me. And we know we got some things to fix. But at the same time, you know, being disappointed is different than being, you know, about to jump over the fence, you know. I said it all the time, but I'm not discouraged. I'm more determined than ever and going to stay that way to get this football team where it needs to be. That's my job. That's our coaching staff's job. Our players' job is to keep getting better fundamentally and become a better and more intelligent football team. And to play winning football, and that's what we're going to set out to do. As far as injuries are concerned, there's not a lot of clarity right now, you know, on the injury front. But we'll work through that as the week goes. I mean, I'm sure you guys will have questions about specific guys, and I'll give you the information that I have to the best of my ability. But right now, I don't have a lot of clarity that way on several guys. So I'll let you guys kind of fire away. Well, Cody's in the concussion protocol. I think we know that's where it is, and until he's taken out of that, will there be any changes?
Josh?
Again, we'll know a little bit more as we move through this week exactly where he is, but hopefully we'll, you know, see where he is by Wednesday. He's been practicing. I think you guys all know that, but again, I think there's some things we need to still take a look at to make sure he's ready to go.
Expect him to be ready to play earlier than that?
No, I did not. I mean, I knew he'd be able to throw and move around, but not play, you know, so that's just kind of where we are.
As you plan for Wednesday, who will be your first team quarterback at practice?
We'll find out. Today's Monday, you know. Tuesday's tomorrow. Wednesday's a day and a half away, so we'll figure that out as we go. Well, I don't know.
It's been a tough year,
it has been. You never know, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
What about Keenum? Him with the illness and that. How concerning is that, especially considering coming off of the lung issue, and then when you look at big picture, are you considering maybe just shutting him down for another period of time?
No, I think Cam's feeling better, but again, you know, like you said, we just got to get some more clarity on exactly what that is and where he is, and he's definitely one of the ones, like I said, I don't have a lot of answers that way yet, but we'll when we know, you guys will be the first to know.
Can you say if it has anything to do with the Bruce lung?
No, I don't know that it does it or doesn't, Mary Kay. I don't know that. I think it was an illness, and that's what it is, and we'll go from there.
How do you approach the week when you're not sure who's your three quarterbacks going to be Wednesday?
Well, you just, as long as you have a flexible system, as you know, you said it, we've been through this, you know. We're just going to keep working and be prepared for many different scenarios as we go through it and make sure that we can field a good offensive football team on Sunday, and that's what we'll do.
You were building the team, your last two quarterbacks, obviously, which kind of started a snowball. Both those guys had injury history. I mean, in their past. How much of that was discussed and examined when you were deciding on the two guys, leading guys at the position this year?
Well, again, I think none of that matters right now. I appreciate the question, but I think right now, I mean, they're injured, you know. So, you know, whatever their past was, it's not gonna really matter right this second. They're not playing, so. What we got to do is find who's going to be playing, like you guys asked, for this week, and get ready to practice for the guys that can play and compete and kind of go from there.
Corey Coleman mentioned last week that he might have another x-ray early this week and was hoping for maybe to be cleared to start practicing. Do you know anything yet?
I mean, I know he's making progress, you know, but again, you know, we'll just see how it goes. I mean, he's another one I don't have, you know, total clarity on yet, but we're working towards that. What was that?
Somebody
called. Oh, it was a phone? Oh, okay. The national anthem was going. I'm going to say, okay. Hello, we back at the game? We got a do-over, right?
We saw you go to Sean Coleman at the right tackle yesterday. Is Austin Pastor still your starter?
Yes,
there?
He is. Oh, yeah. No, I wanted to get Sean some playing time and see where he is. I mean, the only way I'm going to find out about these guys is by them playing a little bit. You know, so no, Austin Pastor is still the starting right tackle.
What was, you know, we talked after the game, obviously. What was your message to the team right after the loss? And then did it change at all today when you met with them again?
No, not at all. We're going to work. I mean, we're going to keep getting better. You know, I mean, we don't like the situation we're in. Nobody would, you know, but the only people that can change is the people that's in the locker room and the coaches. And that's it. You know, this is us. You know, we're not. When nobody's pouring sand over our head or dirt over our head, we're going to go to work and get this thing better. And I'm fired up about Wednesday's practice because that's the next time we get the chance to do something about this. You know, we're watching the tape.
make the corrections, and then we got to go out and get better. And I know that's going to happen. We're going to keep getting better. We're not going to go backwards.
Reports, and I know this is not necessarily, this is more of a Sashi question probably, but Joe Thomas, you know, that you guys are shopping him and that you would give him up for a second round pick.
Are not going to trade Joe Thomas. Joe Thomas has a lot to do with what we're trying to accomplish here in our future. So, I mean, like you said, there's a lot of reports, but that's what they are.
To you about the defense?
We got to get better. Got to get better. There's no question about that. You know, fundamentally, we got to do those things better. I mean, we didn't play as well as I think we can play, and that's where my disappointment lies.
It seemed like they were having a lot of success with one run play.
It was several. Yeah, it wasn't one. No, there were several. I mean, again, they did a good job. They did a good job, and we didn't play as well. You know, it's just that simple. And again, that's not, anything that happens with this football team, we keep saying it because it's a top-down deal. You know, it starts with me. So I got to do a better job, you know, and our coaches got to do a better job. And then our players got to take that and do better too. So that's the way this thing works.
You were upset, understandably so, at the five-minute mark yesterday because they were running all over you.
Putting mildly, running all over me. Okay.
The effort to play 60 minutes seemed not to be there in defense. Is this the beginning of that, or how do you stop that from becoming a regular occurrence now that the team is in this hole?
Well, I think you said it. I mean, that's the one time I felt that way was yesterday. I haven't felt it like that, you know, prior to. So, yes, I did. I took time out. And I didn't go and scream at them like some people thought I did. That didn't happen. I went to encourage them. You know, I wanted these guys to go do their jobs better than what they were doing them at the time. And to a man, I think the guys got the message and went out there and did that. You know, I'm not concerned that that's what it's going to be. You know, hopefully this is a one-time occurrence because I think we had a bunch of prideful men in that locker room that's going to come back to work and going to do their jobs better than what they've done it. You know, and I think we're going to coach them better and put them in better positions and give ourselves chances to make more plays.
If you had to do all over again in that moment, would you leave the headset on?
Everybody's worried about my headset. What is the question with the headset? I can call a play there's not a play that will go into our quarterback without me knowing. I know exactly what's being said to the quarterback. I know exactly what's being said to the middle linebacker. I know exactly what's being said to the special teams coach. So it's not about the headset. I mean, I know you guys think you have to be, if you're involved in football, you got to have that on all the time. I could call the game with the headset off and just talk to the quarterback. You know, so it's not about the headset, okay? And plus, I was hot, all right? It was a hot day, and I was getting a little sunburned. So I took it off for a minute, you know, to relax. To take the sun off my ears, I guess. Whatever explanation you guys want, but it's not about the headset, please. I mean, it's not at all. My disappointment of taking it off wasn't. I hope it's not tied just to the headset, where everybody think, well, okay, he lost it because he took the headset off. No, I was watching our team, but I'm still coaching our team, and I'm involved in each and everything that we're doing, offensively, defensively, and special teams.
I know this is a trend throughout the NFL, that mm-hmm. win the toss, you defer to the second half.
Mm-hmm. Get an extra possession.
I understand that. But with the defense struggling the way it is, it seems that in these games, you're basically starting every game 7-0 down.
Have we?
Until that gets on track, do you?
Every game? Have we?
Not every game.
Okay. All right.
Most games, it feels like you're starting, you're having to play from a catch-up right out of the game when you do that. Is that something you might consider changing the thought on?
We might. I mean, but I like having that extra possession, you know, because I think it's important for our offense to have as many chances as we can to score the ball, you know. And again, I mean, can we flip it up? Yes, we can, you know, to answer your question. But I kind of like this strategy, and we got to find a way on defense to get better and get them stopped. You know, I don't disagree. We need a three and out. We need a team that doesn't go down there and score. You know, we got to find a way to do that, and we will.
Joe Hayden.
Uh-huh.
Is there any thought whatsoever in your mind that
you know, that Joe should be trying to get out there in the same way that, you know, Terrell's is fighting to get out there even when he's not 100%. Do you have any feelings like that at all? About
well,
Joe?
I think these are medical decisions, you know, and again, we put these guys through a battery, a test on Sunday morning, and if they're able to pass, then we play them, and if they don't, then we don't, you know. I think Joe is doing everything he can to be out there with his teammates. I really do, you know. I anticipate him being out there this week, you know, and playing and going.
Are you worried at all that with all the young players on defense, that Joe's absence is having a negative effect psychologically on them?
No, I won't let that happen. No, I mean, because I think they know if he's not out there, it's because he can't be. You know, I think they truly know if our guys aren't playing, they're not cleared to play.
You had this rule for quarterbacks, protect the ball, protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Was Cody kind of violating that rule on the play where he got hurt when he flipped the ball?
I mean, that's a good question. I don't think he was trying to violate the rule. I don't know if the rule was violated. He made a play, you know, sometimes you react and you do things, you know, and all of a sudden I think he was rolling to his right and he saw Gary, and at the last second he flipped the ball there and ended up taking a wicked hit, you know. When we watch this with Cody, we'll tell him again, you know, hey, if you're going to get flushed, maybe throw the ball away, you know, just to save yourself a little bit from those hits. We don't want quarterbacks taking unnecessary hits. Cody has proved his toughness. You know, he doesn't have to do that all the time. So he can do some things better, you know, to protect himself in those situations. But it was a heck of a play that he made, that him and Gary made, you know, that gave us a chance to go score a touchdown. So, again, I don't want to take the fight out of him, but he also has to understand the situation he's in, too, at that time. So, good question. I'm sorry. Oh yeah, no. He's obviously the two sacks yesterday was good. You know, he's doing some good things. There's some things he got to continue to work at. You know, play a little bit lower, play with his hands a little more. But his ability to you know to rush the quarterback has shown up. You know, to get two sacks yesterday, I think he's had three sacks in the last two games. That's huge, and we want more. You know, I think there's more for him to get, and I think he's just going to keep getting better.
How do you guys feel about the quarterback? Cody watches. You know, Josh McCown out there, and mm-hmm. Josh will sacrifice life and limb on that football field, and so will Terrell.
Mm-hmm.
So as a quarterback, especially as a rookie quarterback, how in the heat of the moment, how do you make that distinction of, I don't flip this ball right now?
Right, you can't do it. You know, at the end of the day, that's what they're going to learn, because if not, you're standing over there next to me, or you're in concussion protocol. You know, you just can't do it. And that's hard. That's a hard lesson to learn sometimes. You know, I used to have this thing where quarterbacks just had to say uncle. You know, you throw the ball away or you take a sack, you know, just because it's the right thing to do for your football team. You know, this is not about one individual. It's about your team. And if you're not playing, then we're hurting the team, you know. And I don't think Cody was trying to do anything to hurt his football team. He was trying to do everything he could to help his team score. So, Mary Kay, there is a fine line, you know, but right now in the situation that we've been in, you know, losing quarterbacks, I think the quarterbacks all got to say to themselves, hey, look, you know, maybe I need to throw this ball away or go down, you know, because it's the best thing for our team right now.
And if Josh McCown happens to be the one that plays this weekend, even though he's been around for 14 years, would you have to have that conversation with him?
Absolutely. Yeah, 14 or one, yeah. I'll have it with Cody again. I'll have it with Josh and all of them. You know, you got to be team protecting, you know, as we move forward.
Yesterday's, some of your comments seemed to be the offensive line. You're looking for the right answers up there, and we can't keep getting a quarterback hit like this. Did you analyze those positions? Is it because of the line that you're going through so many quarterbacks?
Well, I think
about?
I'm not going to say it's them. I think it's everything. You know, I think it's a whole. It's the offense, and I just think we need to continue to get better. But I think any time there's different combinations that are playing. I mean, let's be honest, Cam, this is his second game back playing in a while, you know. And then Spencer Durango, that was his first game over at left guard, you know. So the people you work with, the continuity is really important, but we've had injuries and we've had guys out. That's just part of it. I don't think it's by design, by any stretch of imagination. I just think these things have happened. So what you have to do is still put the best five guys out there and let them play and let them grow together. Well, we haven't been able to do that because somebody goes down and then somebody else has to go in, or Greco's had to shift from right guard to center and then somebody has to go and play right guard. So it's just been a flow that way. So I'm not going to say that's why it's happening. That's just football. But at the same time, we have to make sure that we're mindful that there are different guys in there. So there are calls that maybe, you know, that are happening that guys are used to working with.
That's Browns head coach Hugh Jackson. Obviously, the big news there, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns saying, we will not trade Joe Thomas emphatically.
There you go.
There it is. So let's not talk about it. Hopefully, we don't have to talk about that one much, much more. All right, that will do it for us today. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. Obviously, go Tribe tomorrow. What a great day for Cleveland, the Tribe, the Cavs. For Jim Donovan, who joined us on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline, our producer Matt Fontana, and, of course, Matt Wilhelm. I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.